Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
News Talk 1080.
We're talking about Jolly Ned. 860-522-9842. Give us a call. Let's talk. Listen to this cut first, though.
Oh, no. We've gone from...
He's talking about how few emergency executive orders there are right now under the state of emergency.
300 different EOs down to 10.
He's gone from 300 down to 10, which begs the question, why is the state of emergency necessary? Listen more.
And those 10 are ones we really think you've got to continue a little bit longer.
We really think you've got to continue a little bit longer. Does that sound like his pants are on fire and he's running down the street looking for a fire extinguisher? Does that sound like emergency? Huh?
And those 10 are ones we really think you've got to continue a little bit longer.
You've got to continue a little bit longer, like 10 minutes, 10 days, how long?
But I need permission of the legislature to do that, and that's what the special session next week's going to be all about.
Well, really, what you need is an emergency. That's the thing that's missing, is an emergency. If there were an emergency, then justifying a state of emergency wouldn't require all this posing and pandering, I don't believe. Robert in Cheshire, hi, you're on WTIC.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Maybe what we ought to do is give King Ned a pat on the shoulder and tell him he's been a good boy and he's gotten rid of the emergency. Because, as you've pointed out so well, that's exactly what's going on.
You mean
I got into the interweb last night, looked at Webster's definition of emergency, and I came up with two different definitions, and one of them was an unforeseen combination of circumstances requiring immediate action. I don't see that that fits. And the other one is an urgent need for assistance or relief, and again, keyword urgent right there, assistance and relief. Mm-hmm. We are now awash in federal tax dollars coming from around the country to bail out ostensibly the richest state in the country, one of the used to be anyway. And it flies in the face of common sense and how this country was formed with the founding fathers having set up a government of the people, by the people, with different groups that would be a series of checks and balances. This bid for another extension of emergency powers is basically laziness on the part of the governor and on those legislators that would vote to give it to him because they're all afraid of their shadow. And I think we need to do such as what our friend Pat Sasser has done with tolls and put the fear of loss at the next electoral event in 2 years to all of the state house representatives and state senators that they will lose their jobs if they vote to extend quote-unquote emergency powers. This is absolutely ridiculous. We're a laughingstock.
Well, I think that's the right action. And I believe he's a little nervous about it because he's giving a speech at 4 o'clock to justify. All of a sudden, he's going to give a speech on the state of COVID in the state of Connecticut, which he really doesn't do anymore because he wants to prop up this idea of extended emergency powers, which has no justification. Now, Robert, one last question I've got for you. This appears to me ridiculous that he's looking for a 5-month extension, I think it is, through mid-February. And it's so ridiculous that I almost feel like there's some kind of game being played here, that there's some surprise coming because it's so bizarre to be declaring a state of emergency when this air of casualness has filled the streets with regard to COVID. There is no sense of urgency amongst normal people. Do you detect it?
Well, you've got a great sense of the big picture, and that's what I think your listeners love about what you do and your show is you understand the background, you dig deeply. I think maybe this is perhaps an or the awakening for all of the citizens listening to your show to talk to their neighbors and friends and say, you know, no mas, right? Write to or call your specific House representative or your specific state senator and tell them no. You know, do your jobs, or by the way, we won't pay you your $30,000 or whatever it is per year and your travel expense allowances going back and forth. It's just insane. And here we are just going along to get along. And before all of this flood of federal money came in, it could easily be seen that Connecticut was bankrupt. I actually called and spoke with the governor on the 12th of March of last year, on the Ray show in the morning. And that was caller number two or three. He had just declared a medical emergency, and I congratulated him on doing that, told him I wanted to change the tone of the conversation and say, look, you've just declared a medical emergency. Why don't you go ahead and declare a financial emergency? And his response was, well, there are a lot of people that would be retiring in the relative near term, 2 or 3 years, and that he would reorganize state government as a result. Well, your friend Red Jahnke has put the lie to that by showing exactly what's going on behind the scenes with that. And, you know, hang on to your wallets, boys and girls, because this guy's going to be coming for more money yet. And it's all the big elephant in the room is, of course, the CBAC, the state bargaining unit that where nobody's ever going to stand up and say, gee whiz, you can't get a raise last summer to the tune of $350 million over 2 years. Because you aren't really doing any work, many of you. Obviously, some folks are, and I don't mean to denigrate their efforts. But an awful lot of these folks are sitting at home collecting a paycheck, and now they're sitting around saying they want more. That's insane. It's out of proportion with what the state can afford to do.
Robert, nice to hear from you. Thank you for the call, as always. 860-522-9842. So the governor is doing an address, which we'll be carrying live at 4 o'clock, establishing exactly why there is a state of emergency all of a sudden, and why he needs his emergency powers extended in order to support that state of emergency. And there is, as we've been showing you with the sound we've been playing, there really is nothing to be said that would communicate this aura of urgency that Robert was just talking about. So I thought I would read you a little of the announcement. Today at 4 o'clock, Governor Lamont holds news briefing with update on coronavirus response efforts. A news briefing to provide updates on Connecticut's coronavirus response efforts. What are these efforts exactly? What is the nature of these efforts, and why must they go on forever? And this is just a really weird thing that I'm having trouble getting my head around. The disconnect is what I'm talking about. There is a lack of relationship between what the government is doing, and this is true all the time. We can extrapolate this out into something bigger. There is a lack of relationship between his idea of a state of emergency when he can't even describe one urgent thing. He can't describe one urgent thing that he needs to attend to. The other thing he does, which really aggravates me, he turns this around and says, oh, well, if the legislature doesn't like it, they can tell me. But that's not how our government works. That's not how America is constructed. That's not how the Constitution state is constructed. There is not a legislature there to object when they choose to to laws that the governor is making. That's not our system of government. Anybody ever hear that in civics class? Oh, we have a legislature, a legislative body that sits around, doesn't do anything, but collects a salary. And then if they feel uncomfortable with anything the governor is making, passing into laws, they can object. No, that's not our system. It's actually the other way around. The executive branch is the last place legislation goes before making something into law. The governor just has to sign off on what the legislature does. That's our system. House first, Senate second, last, gov. And if he doesn't sign it, it becomes law in a couple weeks without his signature. That's how irrelevant the governor is supposed to be. And the governor is turning that around 180 degrees from what it's supposed to be. Oh, they can object if they want to. I want us to work together. I want us all working together because I love togetherness, because I want to keep you safe. 860-522-9842. More coming up on WTIC.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
I'm just going to imlistening.org because I haven't actually checked it out yet. I'm listening. Talk has the power to save lives. That's going on tonight, 6 to 8 p.m. The mental health mix from your friends at WTIC. Listen to this now. I have a question about this as well. New Britain, are you familiar with the 50 kids who are causing all the trouble? Are you familiar with the halls they walk? Are you familiar with the families, perhaps? Are you familiar with the dynamics going on that are making it hard to manage young people? And what do you think the source is? Listen.
Aaron, they say it's about 50 to 70 kids, really, who are causing all of these problems.
That's right, Aaron. And one of the big questions that parents have been asking is why not just suspend those students that are causing problems? Well, school officials say it's not that easy. There are steps they have to take to address those students' behavior.
From vandalism to fights, New Britain High School is dealing with a difficult first few weeks of school.
You'll see faucets broken.
Are you familiar with what's going on? Do you have a theory as to what's going on? What do you think is causing this meltdown? And it's one story after another. I mean, there's something in the water. There's something crazy going on with the way the kids are behaving and the way the criminals are behaving and the way the elected officials aren't behaving, aren't responding. Do you have a theory as to why they don't respond? Why would they not respond? Why do they have no interest? Isn't that a really interesting thing? 860-522-9842. Why are they content to let it sit? Hi, who's this? You're on WTIC.
Hi, Matt from New Hartford.
What's that?
Matt from New Hartford.
Matt from New Hartford. Sorry. I'm having a little trouble with my headphones. They're cutting out. So what do you think about this, Matt?
What do I think about it? Well, am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Oh, I'm a teacher, have been. My first job was in New Britain at Nathan Hale Junior High School, which is now apartment buildings. But I think that as with everything else, as the years went by, the legislators made it harder and harder for teachers to enact discipline. And it just kept getting worse and worse and worse year after year. Now, I've taught for 45 years, and actually I'm back in the classroom now one day a week. But the legislators in this state and the lawmakers have done, it's been a tragedy for teachers and
Is that a theory or is that something you can point to actual things? What are some of the specific policies that have been enacted that have created a tragedy?
Well, it's kind of like, you know, when I first started, you could keep kids after school. You had certain discipline things in order. Then it was, oh, well, we can't keep them after because you've got to have buses to take them home after school. Well, how in the world does that affect anything when you're busing kids home after detention. Does the parents get involved with that? No. Because if parents pick them up, have to pick them up when they misbehave, then the parents are going to get after them not to stay after school. So
right. So that's part of the dynamic of disciplining kids. Even if you're sending them to a quiet room in the school to, you know, not allow them into classroom, you would still want the parent to come and have a meeting and pick them up. And that punishes the parents, too, for the kid's bad behavior, which circles back onto the child.
Yeah, because the kids don't care. So the thing is that you've got to make it so that, you know, if a teacher does enact some kind of a discipline, that the principal's going to back them up. Lately, the principals haven't for years, and because their hands are tied, too. And so what happens, you know, you can't suspend kids because for valid reasons. So all of a sudden, these kids rule the school. So that's the major problem right there.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that with us, Matt. Appreciate it. Mike, you're next on WTIC. Hi.
Todd, hi. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking the call. You know, the Malloy Madness administration put into effect a lot of bills and laws that no longer hold youth accountable for their actions. They can't be arrested. If they are detained, they're released almost immediately. And there's no, you know, any sort of repercussions for any of their actions. That's why all the car thefts have gone up. That's why all the carjackings have gone up. The looting has gone up. Now, as far as schools go, it's the same exact principle, no pun intended, because there's no way to hold these kids accountable. All the red tape that they have to go through to even give a kid a detention nowadays is insane. I went to a class LL school, which is the same size as New Britain High School, and we had police officers in the hallways. If there was a fight, if there was vandalism, anything along those lines, it was automatic suspension. If you got multiple suspensions, it turned into an expulsion. And then you had to find...
And how is that handled now?
There's none of that now, Todd. There is none of that. They have to jump through hoops just to give a kid a detention, and a lot of it is along the lines of what your previous caller just said. How are we going to get these kids home? And it's everything. Everybody is so coddled nowadays, so afraid of what somebody might think of them for disciplining a child. Well, this is what happens when we are a society that no longer disciplines when you do something that you are not supposed to do. There's no repercussions, and everybody just runs amok. And it's not going to get any better, Todd, unless something drastic changes. It's only going to get worse. This is just the beginning.
Well, look, that's how our society works. That's how democratic systems are supposed to work, is they screw things up. One party screws things up. They lose an election. Different people come in, and then they start making changes. We'll take a break for news. We'll talk more.
Now 2 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
All right, the governor is going to be talking after the 4 o'clock news. He's going to be talking COVID, supposedly. But it will be interesting to see if he ignores the emergency in the state while he's declaring an extension of his emergency powers. And I suspect that's why they're doing the press conference today, if they're smart anyway, to try to explain why they would be ignoring the crisis in virtually everywhere in the state of Connecticut over the spike in crime and kids out of control in New Britain High School and this whole ridiculous thing with the TikTok and the behaviors that are coming out of that. And really, it seems that the social fabric is tearing, and there is an emergency in the state. It just has nothing to do with COVID right now. Well, maybe tangentially, there's a connection. Maybe this is leftover angst and frustration being expressed? What are your thoughts? 860-522-WTIC, Jim in Glastonbury. Hi, Jim.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. What's going on in New Britain is just an example of what's been going on all over the country for the last 30 years. They've been taking away individual responsibility. They've been taking away consequence. They've been taking away accountability. Parents no longer have the rights or the ability to control their children because the state's taken it away from it. You can't discipline your child. You can't correct your child. You can't do anything. All of that has been given to schools. It's all been given to social workers. It's all been given to government. Police can no longer discipline your child. You can't send your child to juvenile detention anymore when they commit a crime. You have to have the social worker come in and talk to them and find out, you know, why there's a problem and get to the root of the cause,
right,
which never goes
anywhere.
So
what do you think about all this?
Well, I think all of it is part of a much deeper, I don't want to say conspiracy, but conspiracy. Eventually, government is trying to take away the rights of individuals. Each generation is born with less rights than the one before them had, and you don't know what you're missing if you've never had it. So as each generation gives more and more power over to the government, eventually you have a government that has all the rights and the people have nothing.
Do you support the idea of public schools, Jim?
I do support the idea of public schools, but I support the idea of public schools that are run from a local community level. I don't believe in nationwide.
But that's how we had it set up.
Well,
Jim, that's how we had it set up, and they've stolen it. Isn't this an example? Isn't this an example of why you shouldn't say yes in response to that question? You should say no. The government should not be running schools. Those should be market-driven like everything else. Markets protect us from centralized control that can do the kinds of things you're describing.
Right, but that should come from the community. They should be community-funded schools. They should be
community-mandated
schools for the curriculum, not the state, not the U.S. government.
They're primarily funded. Thank you for the call. They're primarily funded locally out of your property taxes. But the thieves who want more power all the time just keep taking it. They've done this to the whole U.S. Constitution. I love that call. Thank you so much for walking us through those points. Everybody should say no to the question, I think. If you've got a different answer, explain. Mary in Farmington, hi.
Hey, how are you?
Thank you, Mary, for the call. So what are your thoughts on New Britain? Do you know anything about the situation there?
It's a hot mess. I grew up in the school system in New Britain. And years ago, you know, we had discipline. We had consequences if you messed up. And year by year, it just keeps getting worse and worse. They started with these in-house suspensions, and they had to do that because the parents didn't want the kids home. A lot of it is based on the parents and the discipline they get at home, which is absolutely nothing.
Do you agree with what Jim was just saying?
Yes.
About how this is do you support public schools, or do you agree that when you give government control over the most important systems, they will kidnap power and distort those systems?
I don't believe the government should have control of the public schools, no.
Well, the only way to fix that is to get rid of public schools, and then we'd be free of these kinds of problems. Don't you think? Thank you for the call, 860-522-WTIC. Lee in Summers. Hi, Lee.
Hi. The best teacher I ever had was also the only one who ever hit me. It was Miss Nash in second grade. She was reading us a story, sitting in a chair, and we were all sitting on the floor with our backs to the classroom door. Someone came in the classroom door, and a natural reaction for a second grader is to turn around and see who it was. That yardstick went thunk right over your head. But Miss Nash taught us manners and how to behave. If you walked in front of somebody, you said, excuse me. If you didn't understand somebody, you said, beg your pardon. But I personally feel that young people need more structure at home. And if minors get into real trouble that the parents should be held responsible.
How do you feel about the public school question? Isn't what's going on right now the proof that there should not be government-run schools, that they should be privately run? There should be a market. If the payment is coming out of tax dollars, then let the parents take a voucher, a gift certificate, and go pay for a year of school at whatever school will take it.
No, well, I don't know that enough about it to really comment.
Well, that's a good answer if you don't know enough. That's fine. I want you to think about it. That's why I'm raising the question. I think what we have here is a good demonstration of why nobody in their right mind wants government running anything. Government destroys everything it touches. It's as simple as that. So don't be mad about this and then say, oh, yeah, I support the public schools. Well, if you support the public schools, you support the idea that government uses public schools as a way to rig elections, that government uses the reason government feels compelled to be so nice about everything. They can't set any rules because they're in a popularity contest to win elections. That's how it works, their business. Ellie calling from Vernon. Hi, Ellie.
Hello. Good afternoon. Well, you want a subject for emergency for the governor? I have
one. Yes, what's the governor's real emergency?
Yeah, Chicago-like shootings in Connecticut and Hartford and surrounding towns.
It's funny, though. Democrats... it's true. He didn't know anything about the most recent shooting in Marlboro.
He's not
beating.
Listening to the news.
He's not paying attention. But the truth is, Ellie, Democrats don't mind gun violence in the areas they control. They just want to keep it out of the news.
Yeah, right. Apparently not. What can I say? This is what his keepers won't tell him about the latest news, and then he picks up with the virus. I mean, we are done with the virus. I hope we are done.
Well,
so
it's certainly
I don't know what the emergency
minimal.
Is. He should start stop and frisk, and get the guns off from the criminals. That's what he should do.
That would be something, Ellie. That would be quite a surprise.
Yeah.
Don't hold your breath, as they say, Ellie. Thank you for the call. Ellie says, stop and frisk. 860-522-WTIC. Who's next here? It's Matt in Enfield. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Todd. I think, another way to maybe look at it is a lot of people just aren't really used and have an understanding for different cultures. The New Britain High School situation, in many instances, I'm sure those teachers aren't necessarily coming from, third world countries and aren't prepared to deal with. And we need to train our teachers and really our citizens, because we're not going to vote any differently. I think we understand that this is just the new, I think a great business idea for Connecticut would be one that puts up gates and fences around homes like you see in other countries. And we can live in communities and protected areas from each other.
You're saying that people can't handle the multiculturalism? It's too complex culturally?
I think some cultures, if you travel the world and even some parts of this country, in some cultures it's not uncommon for violence and total disregard for other human beings. That's not an uncommon thing around the world.
Except
Well,
that's true, but so have American kids. People who've grown up in a civilized society that is affluent and sophisticated and well-behaved normally and law and order-based. I don't know that we have evidence to support your theory that it comes from other cultures. I think any culture understands discipline. Any people from everywhere understand the law and a society that respects law and order and requires that its citizens do the same thing? I don't know that there's anything complicated there. Anybody think so? 860-522-9842, Rico in Hartford. Hi, Rico.
Hi. This question comes up every year, even on your show. You did this last year. It comes down to a question of misappropriated funding. The money should always follow the student. It should not go to a designated school that the government approves of.
Yes, Rico, but the reason I'm asking the question again is because the reason... Because why?
Because it hasn't been accomplished yet. It still goes to the schools.
It hasn't been done because the system is rigged by government to do what's best for elected people to win elections, not to do what's best for the schools.
All right, but it goes to designated schools that are in support of what you just explained. The schools are in total harmony with corrupt politicians.
And if of course they are. Because, wait a sec, how else could it be the money flows from the government to the schools, correct?
Absolutely, that's the problem.
Exactly. So what I'm getting to is the source of the problem. At its core, if you have a system where people who have to win popularity contests control the schools and the flow of money to those schools, then everybody is run by the popularity contest. And all the decisions are made with respect to who's going to be the most popular politician.
And the solution is to give the money to the student. Let the student choose whatever school he wants to go to.
But Rico, you're engaging in a circular argument here. You can't do that because of all the stuff I just described. Because it is a rigged system.
What if you have privately erected schools?
Well, that's the answer, yes. That's why I'm asking the question. Do you support public schools? If you say yes, you're saying you support this system where there can be no discipline, where the kids are out of control and they laugh at the adult world. They laugh at the power structure. Because the power structure is laughable, because the people who ultimately call the shots have to win elections, which are popularity contests, because nobody pays any attention to the making of these policies that were made on purpose by the Democrats in order to win votes. And now it's boomeranging, and they'll make up every excuse in the world to take your eyes off the ball. 860-522-WTIC. The rant line number, 751-4698. We'll talk more about this coming up on WTIC.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
Whoa, it's WTIC. This is all about structure. Everything about America, our system of government, is about how do you structure government so that the evildoers, those who will grow government into an oppressive anti-American scheme, how do you structure it in such a way that they're fighting against themselves, each other, having an internal tug of war over power instead of having the ability to make messes like what liberalism has done to the public schools. So the way to avoid it is to not have public schools. And then everything would be a lot better because parents would be out there shopping for good schools. And they would have a selection of optional approaches to education. Mark's in Watertown. Hi, Mark.
Good afternoon. I'd like to make two points by the way I think. Make parents accountable for what their children do. I do not know that there are many parents who don't love their children, so make the parents accountable. And then one more point. People go to the suburbs for good public schools, and once their kids graduate, they don't want to pay for the good public schools. So those are two things that I've observed.
What do you mean they don't want to pay for the good public schools? They've been paying for them in their property taxes, and as long as they live in that town, they continue to pay.
Yeah, but the inner city high schools or the city high schools are not as good, I don't think, as the schools out in the suburbs, the high schools out in the suburbs.
Well, that's true, but that's because they're controlled by Democrats, don't you think? I mean, really, the Democrats can... The cities are their bailiwick. That's their sweet spot. They've got total control of the cities. They've got total control of the police departments. They've got total control of the schools. What you see in cities is the Democratic Party being able to bring its vision of government and the services it provides to fruition just the way they want it.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.